Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady, now joined by our college football insider, Coach Gary Barnett. Hello, Coach. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, Stephen. It's hard to watch all this stuff going on in L.A., all those fires, though. Man, that's scary.
It is. It is just awful, and hopefully... I don't know what to say about that, but thoughts and prayers out to all the people. I know we've got people in California that obviously listen to us on our app and on the internet, and we've all got friends out there. So I saw a couple of clips. Jake showed me. What was that? You showed me Jake yesterday. That looked like a disaster movie.
Yeah, that was yesterday morning. It was right by Getty Center. It was crazy.
Could probably get on L.A. Country Club and Bel Air pretty cheap right now, though.
Right. Well, you know what? Now, take advantage. Coach, so there's a lot of different things that I wanted to ask you about, and we're going to step outside of college football because I just wanted to get your thoughts, your perspective as a football coach. So I ask you from time to time about the Chiefs. Yesterday, it was a huge story, and still is today, that the Chiefs have been struggling. They're now 6-6. They're tied with the Raiders and the Chargers, and they've got the Raiders and the Chargers coming to Arrowhead Stadium in the next 2 weeks. So a huge matchup. And look, even though they struggled, this is what football fans look forward to, the Chiefs and the Raiders at Arrowhead with first place on the line in December. And so I'm sure that you saw Marcus Peters throwing a penalty flag into the crowd at the end of the Jets game, and then he walked off the field and left the field, and he was not thrown out of the game. He was not ejected from the game. And then he comes back on the field with no socks on and just with his cleats, clearly not ready to play, and it's all hell broke loose, and then the Chiefs lost. And so we were wondering if there was going to be any disciplinary action, and there was nothing Monday, nothing Tuesday, and then all of a sudden Andy Reid yesterday announces he's going to suspend Marcus Peters for a game this Sunday against the Raiders with first place on the line. And I'll be honest with you, we were all shocked because nobody thought this was going to happen because it's appeared from the outside looking in that maybe he's starting to lose the locker room a little bit. He always says, hey, I have a good locker room. But they played undisciplined football. Travis Kelce and Marcus Peters, they've had issues like this where they've done things that have drawn penalties or done bizarre things that have irritated fans. Travis Kelce's been fine the past month or so, but Marcus Peters continues to push the boundaries, so he gets suspended. For a head football coach, we don't know all what went into the decision, if it was just Andy Reid or if ownership had something to say about it, but the bottom line is this. The biggest game of the year, first place on the line, by far your best corner, you suspend him. Not an easy thing to do because it could cost you the game. From a football coach's perspective, I'm sure that you had to face something like this in your career or as part of a decision like this. You're trying to establish that, hey, look, there is a line you can't cross. I've got control of this locker room. But at the same time, you don't want to lose the division. But he made the tough choice to suspend Marcus Peters. How difficult is it for a head football coach to make that type of decision when things have just been spiraling out of control?
Well, first and foremost, you said when you said you don't know all the stuff, all the information, and that's probably the most important statement you can make in there because those of us on the outside do not know what's going on inside that locker room, inside management, inside discussions with Andy. So I think you always have to defer to that anything that is going to be said is going to be pure speculation. Based on my experience, and have been in those situations just like that, what generally happens, and you don't have to just look at the Chiefs. You can look at a number of teams out there right now that have lost their discipline as they start to spiral out of control. I mean, there can't be any greater example than the Broncos. And so what happens is that locker room, people start, it's their livelihood. You know, they want to be in the playoffs. They want to do those things. That's the nature of athletes, to play at the highest level, to achieve the highest accomplishment. And so when members of their own group start playing without discipline, start causing distractions, start creating things in the locker room or on the field that take away your chances and the rest of the team's chances to succeed or to accomplish the things they want to do, then that locker room speaks up and it says, the guys in the locker room go to Andy and they say, this guy's out of control, he's hurting us, et cetera. That's the kind of thing that can happen. Now, with all due respect, you know, Marcus Peters had these issues in college.
Right.
It's not like they're new. And eventually, you know, sometimes when they get in a good system and the rest of the team has got enough control and enough good leaders to where they can change a guy, or sometimes just temporarily change a guy. That he gets caught up in all the good things that are going on, and learns to play with discipline and play inside the system. But when things start going bad, then the real guy starts showing up, and that may or may not be what's going on. I've had that happen to me, and I know that that's very possible, and it's a destructive course for your football team. And at some point in time, you have to stand up, take control, and do what's right. All aspects and conditions of society and any business or any team, you have to take the appropriate steps. And they are hard because you are taking a really good player off the field. But somewhere, somehow, principles and what's right and what's wrong has to take over and become more important than anything else. So that's what's been my experience, and that's ultimately the decisions I had to make. Are they the same as Andy's? I don't know, because we don't know what's happening really on the inside of that football team.
Coach, you've coached every type of player. And look, Marcus Peters is an extremely polarizing figure in this town. You have some people that will fiercely defend him, some people who hate him because of his national anthem behavior, and they won't get past that, or people that just don't like his demeanor on the field and these issues you've talked about. My feeling on a player like Mark, I've had a lot of people say, well, why would you even put up with it? And I feel like there are a lot of players like this in the NFL. My opinion is, a player like Marcus Peters can take a good team and help make it great, but he can take a bad team and help make it a disaster. Does that make sense? Like, if it's going in the right way, his talent can elevate a team, but if it's going in the wrong way, he can make it worse. Is that fair, or how would you characterize it?
No, I think that's right, Nate, and that's typical. I mean, it's not just football. It's any microcosm of society that same sort of thing can happen, and that's probably, just speculation again, could very well be what's going on right there. And you know, that's why these guys spend so much money vetting players and interviewing them, because they want to avoid this at all costs. But when you take Marcus Peters, when you take the kid at
Montez Perfect,
when you take him, you know. But what you really trust is that your locker room, your leaders, can keep him in control. And, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. But it's the risk you take, and it's you're making a deal with the devil when you do. And you believe strongly that between the people on your team, management, yourself, your system, that you can keep it under control. But what happens is when things start going the wrong way, then true colors start to show.
Gary Barnett is our guest. All right, Coach, let's get into more coaching carousel. Every time we talk to you, there's so much more information. to discuss. Okay, so Missouri and Kansas State over the past couple of days both lose offensive coordinators to head coaching positions. Josh Heupel, a lot of people are surprised that he got the job at UCF. That looks like that's one hell of a football job. He's going into a very good situation. While K-State loses Dana Dimmel as he becomes the head coach at UTEP, and that's the other side of the spectrum. They are right now a terrible football program. And so I'd just like to get your reaction, your thoughts on Josh Heupel going to UCF and Dana Dimmel going to UTEP as both teams are trying to prepare for an upcoming bowl game.
Yeah, and you know what? Everything is magnified and pushed up and sped up because of the early signing date now. So, usually these decisions would be made for over the next couple of weeks. But now, because of early signing date, everybody's trying to hold on to the commits they have and so make these decisions quick. Certainly hope it all works out for all these schools to make these kinds of quick decisions. When you've got a guy that's 15 and 22, gets an SEC job, and Willie Taggart, who's got a losing record, ends up with maybe one of the best jobs in the country. You make those quick decisions, who knows? But I'd say the loss of Heupel is probably more critical to Missouri, and usually when it goes that fast, and one that no one sees coming is because there's some sort of connection there. I have no idea what it is. You guys might know more than I do. But losing him before the – I think it's really tough because this is such a great bowl opportunity for Missouri showcase that football team and players. And they'll all say, well, it doesn't make any difference if coaches leaves, but it does make a difference in coordinators. So I think it'll much more of an effect on Missouri than losing Dana Dimmel to UTEP. And that's a tough job. Dana's been a head coach twice, and he obviously wants to get back in it and will go anywhere to do it. That sort of looks obvious. But I think the loss of Heupel is going to be more critical than that of Dimmel. And, those jobs are hard to get, and you got to take them when they come up. So I totally appreciate them and understand that.
And as of yesterday, they still had not decided, I don't know if the decision has been made, they haven't announced it, whether or not Heupel is going to stay and coach the bowl game. So, like, if you're a head coach and this happens to you, would you rather your guy stay and coach the bowl game, or is it better to, okay, move on, we've got it from here? Because the one interesting thing, there were a lot, maybe four or five tweets from players that they were blindsided by this and unhappy. I think, Tristan Castillo, the starting center, tweeted out, and other players tweeted out that, hey, we're supposed to be family. You didn't even call and let us know about this. And so they were unhappy with the news. Others, congratulated Josh Heupel. But for you as a head coach, what's the better route to go?
Well, it happened to me when I was a coordinator, and I had a chance to go to Northwestern. And I think it depends on where you're going. Dana Dimmel, for example, there's a lot of work to be done at UTEP. And I think his departure right now to get in there and start trying to get a recruiting class would be critical. Josh, on the other hand, is going to a program that's, Scott Frost is going to coach that game, from what I understand. And so it's not so critical that he go. I think it's probably more important. I think that I would want him to stay and coach my team because this game is so critical to Missouri. And I would hope that he would stay. If I were in my situation when it happened to me, I told Coach McCartney, I said, I want to coach this bowl game. We were playing in the Blockbuster Bowl against Alabama. And he just said, no, you've got to go right now. So he understood that. And then I've had it the other way, where I needed the guy to hang on and make calls and do this, make play calls, et cetera. So it's happened both times. I think it depends on where you're going. In Josh's case, I think he could stay with Missouri, call this game, and then move on without any issues. I think Dana probably needs to head down there right now.
All right, Coach, we've been fascinated watching the Tennessee coaching search that has just been a complete ongoing disaster.
An episode of The Simpsons.
in more ways than one. But all of a sudden, the reports are out that they're going to hire Alabama defensive coordinator Jeremy Pruitt. I was reading some tweets last night from people that I respect, like Louis Riddick, who say that this is like pulling one out of the fire. Like after the entire disaster, they got a fantastic up-and-coming coach, almost like they stumbled into it. But there are still some Tennessee fans that are not satisfied with this. What do you think, if this is the hire, what do you think of Jeremy Pruitt, and should Tennessee fans finally be happy with this?
Well, they don't have any choice. And so and this is always going to happen. I mean, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, I just watched the whole Herm Edwards thing here in Arizona. And, you know, you're going to have a group that's going to be happy and a group that's not going to be happy. So that's the way it's going to be. Just deal with it. You know, I think this is a result of hiring Phil Fulmer, and Phil Fulmer being connected to the coaches community the way he is. The ADs now, a lot of the ADs that come out of the business world do not have that connections. That's why they use searches and search firms, et cetera. They put that expertise in the hands of somebody that supposedly has it. But this is strictly a Phil Fulmer connected hire if it comes about. I had heard that because Pruitt wouldn't go before the playoff game that they wouldn't hire him. So I don't know that that's a done deal. And if Pruitt did that, I think he's totally right. He needs to stay with that football team in this case in a playoff. And I think what that does, if that happens, then it just sort of makes the whole Tennessee thing look even worse. Because it seems like to me they need somebody in there right now. Just having a name that's coming doesn't quite do that for me. I think Jeremy's done a great job. He's certainly well respected. So, this thing doesn't look like it's over to me. I mean, not that they won't hire Pruitt, but the fact that he won't come before the playoffs are over, that really, you know, with him trying to coach a playoff game or two and then trying to hire a staff, and I mean, that's a lot of balls in the air, trying to make recruiting phone calls, et cetera. You've really put a lot on this guy. And, he's going to have to make some, he's going to have to make some priority choices, because his priority right now should be to Alabama. And it's going to be hard to throw all those balls in the air and juggle them.
Okay, this is very interesting to me, Coach, when you say this, because we got to hear the story in hindsight that back when Kansas, fired Mark Mangino, they had Jim Harbaugh hired. And the thing that made it fall through, and Harbaugh said this, that Lou Perkins wouldn't let him stay with Stanford for the bowl game. And so he said, no, deal's off. And that just seems baffling if you're a Kansas fan. Like, how could you let that good of a hire walk because of 1 month? And if Tennessee thinks they have the guy, if they finally found a good coach after this entire disaster, why would they let that why would they walk away from that because they have to wait for 1 month for it to happen?
Well, because their priorities are different than Lou's priorities, for example. I mean, it's they've got to get somebody in there right now and get on the road. And guys that are in the football business or have been in the football or the coaching business understand how critical that period of time is. And because what happens is after the first of the year, there's the convention. So there's a dead period of 7 to 10 days. Now, all of a sudden, you're trying to hire coaches and do everything with 2 weeks left. And it just makes your setback even further at that point in time. So, I understand that. And frankly, I experienced the same thing. And I told a school that I was very interested in it, but I would not do it until after the bowl game because this bowl game was so critical. And they went on and hired Glenn Mason. So, that's just the way it goes.
Chad Morris, Arkansas. And by the way, yep. Go back to Glenn Mason. Was it was it the Georgia job or Minnesota? Or
yeah, Georgia.
Georgia. And then Glenn Mason
Mason backed out, right?
Yeah, that turned into a mess, too.
Wow.
Unbelievable. That's why we love having you on, Coach. Chad Morris, you referenced that his 14-22 record at SMU. He's parlayed that into the head coaching position at Arkansas. Was this a good hire for Arkansas?
Who knows? I mean, they're all crapshoots, but there were so many openings that there really weren't enough experienced coaches, experienced enough to where the risk is a little less. You know, there's always a risk because there's no guarantees anybody's going to work out. But what you try to do is minimize those risks. But when you're in a situation like Arkansas found themselves in, every person was at this point in time was about the same risk because the experienced coaches that have a proven track record who have done it and who therefore become your best risk, there weren't enough of them out there. So now all of a sudden you go to the next tier, and the next tier is just loaded with risk. So you don't know. You really don't know. It's no, I don't care how well you vet them, you don't know. So it's, you know, it's literally a toss of a coin.
All right, we'll wrap it up with this because you referenced this too, and I wanted to ask you about the early signing period. And you said this is what's accelerating all of these decisions. Do you think this, in the long run, is, do you like it? Is it good for college football?
I think it's too early to call, and I think this is a really interesting discussion that maybe next week we ought to take up because there's a lot to this thing. I don't think anybody has a clue, and they're going to start finding out the problems after they go through it a year or two. You know, they're claiming that 80% of the kids are going to sign. I'd be surprised to see that if that's true. I think there's going to be a lot of kids back out of commitments because the pressure of actually signing is new for them. And then all your better players aren't going to sign. And then people are saying it's going to save you money and phone calls. I don't think so. You know, you're still going to have to put coaches on the road because you're not going to fill your class up. You're going to have to put coaches on the road. You're going to have to make a bunch of phone calls. You're going to have to try to – now you're going to raid some other guys. So I don't know. We don't know the answers to any of those. We don't know all the problems, and we certainly don't know the answers because we don't know the problems yet.
Yeah, we'll have to go through a couple of recruiting cycles to find out what the effects are. But we'll talk about more about that next week. Coach, as always, great stuff. Thank you very much for the time, and we will talk to you next Thursday.
You got it. Have a great weekend, guys.
You do the same thing. That is Gary Barnett. I think there's always something, always some nuggety drops in there, like, wow.
Yeah. I've never heard that Glenn Mason story before.
You know, Frank Mason was not involved in that.
Frank Mason had 15 last night against the Cavs.
Look at I will say the creative way to mention that.
Yeah, thank
show.
You. You're welcome. I just thank you. Well, I
thank
I just,
you.
It's very organic. Thank you.
I think my favorite
welcome.
Part.
My you favorite, might as well give yourself a welcome.
My favorite part was his response to the, hey, was that a good hire for Arkansas?
Who knows? They're all a crapshoot.
Here's how silly it is.
Like, nice giggle out of it.
We spent that much time talking with Coach on all kinds of great stuff. We didn't even get to the actual playoff, like the selections, you know, and whatnot. You know,
yeah,
we get to
that
later.
4 weeks to deal with that.
That's what sucks about it, isn't it? If the playoff was 16 teams, we'd get these games started.
Yeah, it's like, once it happens, like, I don't care.
And right. We got a month,
this
you know, to sit around.
New Year's.
Let me tell you this. This has been way more entertaining than anything having to do with the playoffs is Coach Carousel, right?
I agree.
The Tennessee story alone has been fantastic. And it still isn't officially over.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I thought it was just kind of a
deal. Oh, yeah, they're going back and forth on that deal. And so cause I think somebody tweeted out, boy, if Fulmer lets this, after he makes his decision, if he lets that change, then it's going to be even a bigger disaster, if you can believe it or not. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.